Do you ever feel stuck, like you're living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Welcome, everybody, to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. And today is kind of fun because I've got a young woman that I've seen incredible success growth. And her name is Eleanor Beaton. Eleanor, welcome.
Thank you. I'm so honored to be here with you, Sharon.
Well, Eleanor was a client of mine a few years ago, and talk about she created the Fierce Feminine Leadership. And I'm going to actually ask you, Eleanor, in a bit to talk about how that came about, because you were upwardly mobile in the corporate environment and made a decision to make a change in your life. And as a result, I had the wonderful opportunity for her to be part of the Master Mentor Program, and seeing her really take the bull by the horn and get really playing big. So she's got a history of playing big from working with BMO Harris, which I had the honor of helping her open a couple of doors there to get kind of that major support, that power of association. And then she's also on her own, won all kinds of awards. She's the chair of the Visiting Women's Executive Exchange Program at the Yale School of Management. That is very impressive. And then she ended up getting an award called the Profiles in Diversity Women Worth Watching Award, which is incredible. And what I love, I didn't know this one, Eleanor, this was news to me. She was named Canada's Leadership Coach of the Year by the 2017 Corporate Excellence Awards. So congratulations. I'm very proud of you. I didn't know that one.
Thank you so much. I've been busy. I've been working hard trying to follow in your footsteps.
Yes, you have. And, in addition to playing big from a standpoint of what we're going to talk about, you also are proof positive. You can do a lot of it online and mobile because you tell us where you live.
Yeah. So I live in a province called Nova Scotia, which is on, it's like a pendant hanging off the east coast of North America. And it's a great place to live, but it really isn't central to major markets and many of the major markets that I serve. And so, having a strong message, being willing to play big, finding the right support and guidance has been so important to, my growth as an entrepreneur for sure.
So give us a little bit about your background on how you chose to make that decision, take that leap to start something on your own.
So I'm completely an accidental entrepreneur. I grew up in a family. My father was an economics professor. My mother was a homemaker. And when I looked at my career, earlier on, I really saw that I would have a job, a stable job, and that I would work inside an organization. And I actually, my initial career was in advertising, and then I made the switch to journalism. And so, of course, communication and storytelling and learning how to position and articulate my ideas and other people's ideas and stories were critical to both of those things. But, for me, I kept running into this problem, which was that I kept seeing problems or opportunities, and I wanted the freedom to be able to pursue those opportunities. And it was my husband actually who suggested, you might want to take the leap and do something on your own, like start your own business. And I thought to myself, I don't know that I could do that. But ultimately made the decision to try. And when I first, made the move into entrepreneurship, I actually had a communications consulting business. So again, the communications thing, and I did a lot of advice advising and consulting with organizations, with leaders, with politicians, helping them to communicate persuasively, to construct their ideas effectively, worked with organizations who are looking to, lobby for changes in public policy. And the interesting thing was I was working with these great leaders. And I thought to myself, I see what they're doing. They're having tremendous impact. They're making a huge difference. They're making a lot more money than I am. What am I missing and what am I doing wrong? And I realized I was playing small. I was not taking my own medicine and I wasn't sharing my message broadly. And I didn't have the skills or the mentorship that I needed to really take it to the next level. And that is, at the time I'd made a switch into, I'd sort of made an evolution into the field of women's leadership. And that's around the time that I discovered you and we started working together, and we'll talk about that, but the rest is kind of history.
And a wonderful history. And in a very short amount of time, you've created great success. I remember when you were looking at potentially bringing on your first employee, and now, your business has grown significantly. And at the end of the day, you're making a much larger impact. We talk about, the Play Big movement as being number one in your field, living your legacy and creating maximum impact. And certainly I've seen you grow to that enormous heights, and I'm very, very proud of you. So share a little bit about what Play Big means to you and the things that maybe we talked about during our when we worked together that you took to heart, because you paid me a great compliment when I saw you a few weeks ago here in Arizona. So,
and it kind of takes back to this idea of where I was when I met you. So to me, I knew that there was more out there. And I knew that I wanted to have a bigger impact. And to me, playing big is really understanding the value that you bring, really being willing to take your blinders off about your own potential, and then creating the structure to make that happen. And there are those three things, it's courage, it's structure, and it's value. And I think those three things, when we can kind of live those things out loud, when we can, when we're willing to do the work to build those things, and when you're willing to walk the path to get it, because to me, it's not, if I could give myself one piece of advice that I didn't realize, at the beginning of me stepping into playing big more, it's that it's going to be messy. It's going to be hard. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to do things sometimes in imperfect order, and it's okay. don't let that hold you back. Still do it. So, yeah. So that's what it means to me. And, the compliment that I paid you was that when I look at, at the advice that you gave me, at the structure that I created and put in place back then, when I think about the guidance and advice, and I can still remember so many of those conversations. At that time, some were online, and some of them were actually around your dining room table. When I think back on those things, it has made such an extraordinary difference in terms of where I am today because of how I created and structured things. Your ending point has a lot to do with your starting point, and getting that starting point right is so important.
Yeah, well, thank you. And I guess it sounds like I was fishing for a compliment, but I will accept that because we still talk about it a lot on, in all my online programs, and people don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that they have to put the work in and creating the foundation up front. But those of you that are truly serious about creating long-term success, we talk about a house, a house is only good as the foundation that's been poured. And it's a pretty boring thing, all that concrete, all that plumbing. But, it's imperative to have a strong foundation. And that's where when, Mike and I work together on that, and we share, it's so important to put those steps in process. And I know one of your first initiatives was a pretty big one when you did that online summit. And I know you learned a lot of things, but it also gave you a tremendous amount of online content, right?
Absolutely. You know, it was, and I think the thing is, yeah, I mean, you know, one of the things that, that you talk about a lot, again, it's the infrastructure and having those things in place. And as an entrepreneur, sometimes we don't want to hear that because we want every, we, I just want to go move, you know, and sometimes when you, when you're doing structure, you're actually cleaning up things that should have been addressed initially. So I remember doing a lot of that. But the other thing that you talk about is the power of association. Mm-hmm. And just how, you know, as a small player, you know, in the market, as a small company, how sort of explosive or accelerated your growth can become when you form partnerships and relationships that are with organizations that are bigger, that have a need that you can fill. And so we talked about that a lot in terms of who do I, you know, what relationships do I need to have in place? What, you know, how can I create something interesting that a larger corporate entity would want to, you know, would want to be a part of? How do I identify who those players are? And how do I actually talk to them and do business with them as somebody who at the time was relatively unknown. But I, one of the key initiatives was creating, you know, creating a virtual conference, which I needed to do because I live out here. So doing a virtual conference, positioning everything in the right way to invite, you know, power players to be a part of that, and then kind of opening up the doors to corporate entities to say, hey, not only do you need this for your women, but I think you should sponsor this. And that, of course, led to some other great kind of corporate relationships and deals over time. And I guess that's the other thing, you know, I could go on and on, but sometimes people are really looking for clients. And you taught me, and I think what's been so important is to think about making deals, you know, and it's a difference in mindset, but I find that it has made a huge difference in terms of how I look at opportunity and assess opportunity.
Yeah, that's what we talked about when you were here. And that was like the making the deals, that power of association. But, you know, we talk, you know, I say, or do you sell or do you serve? You know, if you want to claim a client, that's one transaction. You have to go out a lot of different clients. But if you create a relationship and you serve your, then you have a long-term relationship that generates lots of sales. And making the deals with that power of association is what allows you to really go from one level to the next very quickly, and gives you the opportunity to have a much larger impact. And so I'm, and when we talk about the personal success equation, Eleanor, we talk about your passion, your talent, association, and taking action. And I want to highlight that because if so much of your success is because you made the ask. You went out and took the action. And so many people, and some of you watching and listening right now, I challenge you, are there things that you know you could be doing that you're not? And that, you know, if you want to be a successful entrepreneur, you have to have that confidence in yourself and know that there will be people that say no, but if you don't ask, you don't get. And it's very important to, you know, really do the work. And Eleanor, you always have. So I want to applaud you on that. So.
Oh, thank you. You know, implementation is my favorite word. You know, it really is. And you're so right. It makes such an enormous difference. And I see the difference personally between times when I've really focused on implementation and times when I've allowed myself to get distracted. Thank goodness the times where I'm focused on implementing far outweigh the distraction, you know, the distraction times, but it's just so critical.
So for those of you that are watching and listening, you know, you might be saying, well, obviously, you know, she had great opportunity. She sees the opportunity. And I think that's the importance. And for someone out there, Eleanor, that is really watching this and they're kind of saying easy for her to say, because you have clients now, you're in coaching. So what advice do you give them?
Oh, easy for her to say. That's such an interesting, I would say that in many ways, I think that whole belief is a really great foil from taking action ourselves. You know, so we're all going to have these things that we say that hold us back from our potential, that hold us back from playing big. You know, I am an immigrant to Canada. None of my parents are in the business world. I had no pre-existing relationships, you know, in the business world. I mean, my dad was a prof. And so, you know, in economics, the dismal science, sort of the, you know, au contraire to entrepreneurship. So I, you know, I didn't have those advantages. What I had to do was understand, what do I have and what resources and assets do I have? You know, I can remember at one of your events, you had a great speaker who focused on public relations and media. And she said, you have to understand what you have and use everything that you've got. And you really have to bring it every day and all the time, because that's what it's going to take, you know? And so I would say that, everything that I have as an entrepreneur is a gift, you know, from God, from talents from my family. But the thing that catalyzed it was implementation and action. And that was the critical ingredient. Without it, nothing is possible. And so that's what I would say for sure.
So share with us and we haven't rehearsed this. So what's been a major roadblock that you had to get across?
Oh, I mean, there's so many. I would say a few things. So I'm going to give you sort of an inner roadblock, and then I'll give you an outer roadblock. So the inner roadblock for me was learning how to, and it changes, but I'm going to talk about what happened when everything started working. You know, so there's a time in business, you know, when I was growing, that I was trying a lot of things. And it felt like a lot of things weren't really working effectively. But the reality was, it's just, I was getting started. I was mastering a lot of different skills at once. I was trying to put them together. Everything felt a little bit clumsy and clunky, but I stuck with it, and that became better and stronger. And then things started growing, you know, and so that was the challenge at that time, was persistence. Mm-hmm. Then things started working well. And, you know, I started working with more clients. I was out there a lot more. And at that point, what I started to notice happening was the big challenge was being visible. You know, now I felt visible. And when you step into the light more and you're in the spotlight more, you feel more vulnerable as a human being. You know, I certainly did. But not only that, you absolutely do open yourself up to more criticism. You are exposed to more of people's ideas and opinions about what you're doing. And so that was something that I really needed to develop, thicker skin. I had to be able to stand in my power and allow that to happen, allow people to have their opinions and not take any of that on, you know? So I would say that that was a huge challenge. You know, it actually culminated for me when I lost my voice during a speaking event. Like, it actually took my voice away. And that's when I realized, okay, I have to deal with this. Like, I need to do the inner work. And so I think that's something that was a really big challenge. And then externally, something that was a big challenge that I had to learn, and you're going to love this, being the numbers person that you are, is that money doesn't solve problems. So, you know, as I started growing and started scaling my revenues, I also scaled expenses. And I didn't have the discipline as a CEO yet to make sure, I didn't realize I needed it, to be watching, you know, it was a different skill set about how I was really managing cash flow and money and how I was, you know, managing that side of the business. And so I had to make changes in terms of the people that I was working with and the support that I had. And I needed to take a whole new look at profitability and make sure that I was growing profitably, because I wanted to do it. My choice has been to do it without sort of external money.
It's such a huge issue for everybody out there. You know, it's, you are not, definitely not alone, because most people, you get so excited by the success and you see your top line growing and you tend to take your eye off the bottom line. And that's why it's so important to have somebody on your team who says, hey, you know, your revenue's gone up 20%, but your expenses have gone up 25%. That's not a good comparison. So But the other thing is when you talk about numbers, because I'm just, we can wrap this up pretty quickly, but I want to point out to everybody watching and listening that, you know, and I've worked with a lot of people and mentored them, but you know, one of the things when I see your success, Eleanor, you also were one of the few clients when I would say, you know, well, you tried this, what were your results? And you would literally be able to give me response rates, open rates, close rates. And I just loved it. And that's something that a lot of people don't do. They just, you know, they throw stuff on the wall and see if it works. And then they continue. And when, if it doesn't work, they keep throwing it, you know, well, maybe if I hit it harder, you know, and not test it and realize what the measurements are. And so I want to applaud you, but I want to also make sure everybody listening is, you know, you, if you can't measure what you're doing, then you don't, you may be wasting your time. So what do you have to say to that, Eleanor?
Oh my gosh, it's so true. And, you know, and I think that there's something, you know, that I, and, you know, it's interesting because one of the things that I know I've always admired you for and have really tried to emulate is that CEO role. So, you know, you're the entrepreneur. And to me, you know, entrepreneurship is about seeing opportunity and uncovering that opportunity. And to me, CEOship is about the discipline of execution, the discipline to make sure.
Stewardship.
Totally, you know? And so I mean, that's what it's all about. And so I think getting that kind of drilled in, that care of looking through, you know, not just the big picture, but the care of appreciating what's coming in, what you have, taking care of it, watching it, monitoring it. And that's everything from the people who join your email list to, you know, how certain campaigns are working to social, you know, social engagement to sales and sales conversion to lead generation. I mean, I became a numbers person because I had to, and I really liked what it did for my bank account.
And at the end of the day, that's an, you increase your impact for both your audience and your wallet. And you can't, you know, you can't ask for more than both of those elements. So thank you so much for being with us, Eleanor. We've talked about the importance of structure, the importance of making the deal, not just the sale, and the importance of really measuring what you're doing for effectiveness, but also realizing that taking action. I love that part. We talked about that. And ask yourself, you know, is there an area there that you need to focus on to have a little bit more structure? And there is a difference between the entrepreneur and the CEO. Sometimes they're in conflict. You know, the entrepreneur has the shiny object, wants to do this and that, and the CEO has to have that stewardship of the company, understanding that you do have to continue growing, but you need to do it with a strategic plan in mind. So thank you, Eleanor. We appreciate you being with us, and you're going to hang on. We're going to do another short interview that's going to be in the private Facebook group. So if you're not part of that, please, the Play Big Movement with Sharon Lecter, join us. And what I'm sharing there are things that we're doing. We're talking about habits, and we're talking about other roadblocks, things that we can get a little bit more personal on. But it's all to support you in going to the next level, to play big, and things that I'm doing currently, things Eleanor's doing that you can learn from and possibly follow and do in your own business. So join us on the in the Play Big Movement private Facebook group. And thank you again, Eleanor.
Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sharon Lecter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lecter. Thank you so much and have a fabulous day.